Welcome back to the Feeble Minded Podcast. Hope everyone's feeling good today. With the holidays coming up, I thought it'd be a good time to do a sobriety Q&A. So threw a post up on Instagram and took a bunch of your questions. So let's get into them. First question, how to get past the initial boredom. So, yeah, this is a tough thing to do. Tough hurdle to overcome because you're basically just changing the entire fundamental way you live life, right? And you know, for me, it was the acceptance of reality, essentially, because what's happening is you're used to altering reality with a substance. So that's to you what you think is fun, right? So you're trying to get past that initial boredom, but really the truth is like what reality is, like how life is without that. So not being dependent on a substance to make something exciting. And then over time and going through this journey, I've learned that like there's nothing better than that fundamental like calmness underneath everything. So instead of like, you know, trying to create this thing that you wish it could be, because I was the same way. I wanted everything to be exciting. I'm going out, I'm doing this, I'm partying, it's fun. Like that's where, you know, everything is associated like fun and alcohol. You're partying with friends, you're acting stupid, and like, you know, all that's fun. But there comes a time where like that just doesn't serve you anymore, or at least for me. And you know, you seek something more, right? And underneath it all, it's that fundamental, just like that's what reality is. You can't hide from it, you can't escape. It's just what life is. And a lot of times we use weed and alcohol to mask that. So the faster you can get more comfortable with it, the faster, you know, you're gonna be all right. But ultimately, to get past and like into that point, you got to come up with something exciting, right? You got to come up with something better than drinking. Like something for me, it was like something I always wanted to do, which was, you know, make videos or make a living off of YouTube or skateboarding, something like that. And you know, I've been skating for like 20 years at this point, so I just wanted to give back everything I had learned and, you know, put it on YouTube and share it. And to me, that idea was exciting. Like, I had never used social media before that. I was like anti-everything, just anti, like, technology and, like, putting my information online. I was just so against it. And then so it was an exciting pursuit to embrace that and be like, you know what? I'm going to give this a try. I'm going to see what this whole thing's about. I'm going to use it for good. All the things I hate it for, I'm going to try to, like, you know, do like how I wish it was. Like what, you know, like when you hate something, okay, you could sit there and cross your arms and hate it. But at the end of the day, nothing's going to change about it unless you take action because you're the one that's seeing it. So for me, it was like, pursuing something exciting ultimately is the answer. But, you know, for me, it was like deeper. It was, you know, I've been wanting to do this my whole life and I'm kind of changing my beliefs about the world or at least exploring them at the time. So, you know, physical exercise helps. So, you know, if you want to start a business, that's cool too. But the way my brain works, like that physical activity and exerting myself, that like kept me sane, especially in the beginning. So ideally I'd say something active or incorporate both, but you know, I hated running. I hated working out. Like I was truly against all this stuff. Only thing I did physical was skateboarding. So luckily, like all those things fell into place for me and I just started, you know, skating nonstop, which is funny because get like all this energy when you quit. Like you just get an abundance of ideas and motivation and stuff once you get past that first hurdle. You know, right off the bat, I understand, and it can happen where you're just like, you're still thinking about your old life and all the things you used to do that it annoys you and you're bummed out, but like wait it out. You'll get past that hurdle and like there's light at the end of the tunnel and things get much better and you'll find the things that you thought were exciting and life was about. It wasn't about at all. You weren't really living life at all. Like you were creating a version of life that like was fabricated so you could think it was fun. You pour alcohol on it and everything's fun and cool, but really it wasn't like, you know, when you start going to all these events completely sober, you really start to learn and go through this process of like being present, being there, talking to people, going through the ups and downs. It's a little awkward. It's a little not like, you know what I mean? A lot of times that awkwardness is part of the reason we drink, to break that. And so it's smooth and fun. And, you know, so I just learned to embrace going through these, like learning those lessons and paying attention to them. But, you know, each person has their own different way their mind works. So you got to know yours and do whatever excites you and gets you motivated to keep pushing. Okay, next question. Did I ever attend AA meetings? So, you know, I've been to a couple. I'd go with friends who wanted to quit, or I had one friend who just liked going, wanted me to go with them. Truly nothing against it, but the way my brain works, I like to experience everything myself. So I don't take anyone's word for it. Like, you know, the guy who made that ultimately is just a guy who has a system, and yeah, it works. You know, systems work. People create them all the time. Tried and true. But for me, I don't like taking people's words about anything. Like, I want to feel it and learn it, understand it from my own view, from my own opinion, and almost create my own structure. So I was just excited to go down the path of sobriety in my own, figure it out. And I didn't call anyone. I didn't have a sponsor. I didn't go to meetings. I didn't do anything. I just skated, followed my passion, and tried to focus on learning and getting healthy. But ultimately, I think all these things kind of point in the same direction, whether it's religion, AA, meditation, like whatever it is, they all point towards mental clarity, getting rid of all the nonsense, and learning about yourself. And yeah, I've been to the classes, man, and like, it's powerful and definitely works for a lot of people. You know, I've like, you can go in there and there's 60-year-olds sharing their story, super vulnerable and honest. And there's 20-year-olds and there's people who've been sober for 2 years, 5 years. Like, it just varies so much. And seeing people spill their, just all their stories and leave it all on the table, you leave there like, how can you not be excited? You know, and you got these people you could relate to and share with and hear that they've been through the same things you have or similar. So I think it's really beneficial, and it's a good like starting place to, you know where to begin, like where to, you know, it's like a clear guideline on how to go through these steps, apologizing to people, righting your wrongs, like all the steps. You know, they're not created by accident. They do work, and it's good information in there. But for me, yeah, I just like, you know, exploring on my own. So that's what I did. Next question. What is my stance on weed? So I look at it all the same. You know, ultimately, like, I got nothing against it. I'm cool with anyone. A lot of best friends smoked weed when I quit. People would smoke right in my face and bake the car out. Like, just don't care. Everyone's got their own things, things they're into, things that help them in a certain way. Like, some people clean a lot more and they're more focused when they're high. I don't know. Ultimately, at the end of the day, I just believe that it clouds your thinking. You can have some cool thoughts and maybe be creative sometimes here or there, but like in the long run, ultimately, I think it fogs your mind, and you're hiding from reality. Like I said before, there's the baseline reality. What is everyday life? And if you're always trying to escape that, you're never going to feel satisfied. You're always going to be like, I need this. I got to use this. And you're like always hiding from something. You know what I mean? So the more you're dependent on these outside things, medicine and like pills or whatever it is for you, you're getting away from just like truth. So, yeah, I would say like just embracing that mindset in regards to weed is a beneficial one. You know, all my friends smoked 20 years, 30 years, and they've quit, and I've seen their memories pop up, like things they were suppressing and not being able to sleep. And, you know, you'd think they were fine and operating well on weed. But ultimately, whether people are saying it or not, there's usually something underneath that you're hiding from, that you're masking with weed. And if you can get rid of it and embrace this kind of mental clarity path, you're just going to keep facing things. And they're tough. It's frustrating. It's awkward. It's boring. It's, you know, it's all the above. But if you embrace it and follow it, you'll be at a place in a couple of years where you don't even like recognize yourself in a good way. Like, and you're just probably closer to the things you want, or behaving the way you want, or feeling the way you want. So, you know, I was, when I quit weed, I kind of got lucky in a sense, because I think I was like 17 years old. I was skating all the time. I was gung-ho. And then I met these kids in school, and we smoked all the time. I was starting to do more bad stuff, get in trouble, and, you know, sitting on the couch, getting a little more lazy from the weed. And one of the best photographers in Long Island at the time, this guy James Drurez, calls me up, shoots some photos, and I'm like all freaking out. Like, can I even skate? I'm so high right now, you know what I mean? And I went and I ended up skating good. But that's not the point. You know, that doesn't always happen. I was super paranoid the whole time. Didn't feel like myself. It's like I've been missing out on all these opportunities skating, and I almost just missed one because I was high, you know? And that kind of like struck it for me. I was like, wait, I'm like not doing what I want to be doing, what I love to do. So it almost naturally started weeding those people out of my lives. Like, I didn't choose to leave those friends behind. It's just like, I'm going to skate more and not smoke weed. And then, oh, this guy disappeared. This guy disappeared. Like, you start realizing, oh, really the only reason we're hanging out is because we're, like, enabling each other. We're bonding over this same activity, you know? Which can be painful for a lot of people. But if you make the decision and commit to that, you're just going to be healthier and have a better life. You got to let these things play out, and sometimes people are going to leave, new people will come in, you know, just got to ride the wave. So how to conquer the urge. All right. So yeah, it's a tough thing in the beginning, man. It's like easy after all these years and years, but the way I like to think about it is, I like to think about it as like everything in life is patterns. You've been trained them since birth, and even inherited some from your parents and society, and like, you know, so keep that in mind. It's tough to break these things. And when you're creating a new one, there's no momentum behind it. Like picture, I like to picture like a little, what do they call it? Like a moat or something. It's very thin, very small carved out space. And if you pour water, only a little bit is going to go in there. If you have a bigger carved out one, all the water is going to go there and none down the skinny one. Right? I don't know if follow me on this. So, you know, that's the pattern you've been following is the deep one. So if you keep investing in the smaller one over and over, it gets carved out more and more and deeper. Then when you do something, the behavior, you kind of fall down that new path and it gets deeper and deeper, and eventually it leaves behind, gets bigger than the other one, and the water almost always goes down that good path, right? So I don't know if that made sense to you guys, but ultimately it takes time investing. So like that first day, it's going to feel impossible. It's just not going to go the way you want it to go sometimes. And, you know, I'm a very impatient person a lot of times. Like, I had to learn to be patient and get frustrated with everything, and like it's a lesson and a powerful one to be able to invest in that bank every day, just a little bit. And I've learned to do that in many other ways because I've learned to dealing with it with sobriety. So yeah, bottom line is just have faith in the path. It's gonna work, you know. Like an actual practical, if that's what you're talking about, like a practical thing you could do is, I would try to have other fixations like nuts or something like that. You know, like eat something when you have the urge, because ultimately you're filling in another habit. So be careful what you put in there, you know. Exercise is probably a good one. You feel the urge to go out, go for a run. You'll kill that urge. You'll feel much better. You know, and all these things, easier said than done. When I quit alcohol, I hated running. I hated exercise. I looked at people that exercise like fake people that pretend to love life, like all this stuff, like, you know, jocks or whatever it is. Because I'm a skateboarder, so, you know, you're like kind of a lot of times you're against that, like, gym kind of stuff. Yeah, I learned to embrace it as I got older, and I realized they're just doing what I'm doing. It's a way to channel that energy. You know what I mean? And for me, it was skating. And if I wasn't skating, that's when I went down the dark path. So, you know, just, yeah. Stay active. That's a good thing. Stay open-minded. And, yeah, that's really all the advice I got for fighting the urge. Talk with someone. You know, you feel the urge, make a call, preferably someone that doesn't drink. That can help ground you and kind of help get rid of the moment. Okay, next question. Do I have any other vices than alcohol? So, yeah, I've had some crazy periods in my life. Ultimately, alcohol was the main thing that, like, I was stuck on, you know? Like, underneath every party is alcohol, for the most part, or at least the parties I was going to. But later on, I got heavy into cocaine. I was doing that because that would make me be able to drink longer and almost be less drunk, you know? Like, I'd feel a little more clear, if that makes sense. Just not like, if I was going to black out and get tired, and, you know, if I was doing coke, I could just be up all night. So I would do that. And then also the conversations would be enhanced. You know, like 6 a.m., guys back at the house, listening to records, everyone's talking. And, like, there was also an element of, like, bonding, strangely enough. Like, you would leave, go to the car together. You're, like, involved in it together. Sometimes you chip in. You're, like, sneaking off to the bathroom to get, like, mischievously. It's kind of like, I don't know, created something exciting to do. That and Molly was another one I did. I sold that too. So I was like, I had it all the time. I go to concerts and take it, and I wouldn't even feel like how most people say they would, like crazy out of body. Like, oh, like I didn't feel any of that. It was just basically almost balanced me out. It was kind of weird. But yeah, like I said, alcohol was the main thing that got me in trouble. I got 2 DWIs. So that was like underneath it all, it was just partying. And, you know, I learned later that I drank to be able to communicate with people more. Like, I wanted to talk deeper, like I'm talking with you guys now. And no one really wanted to talk like that. You know what I mean? It's like people want to talk generally like surface level things, or at least at the time, or the people I was around, or maybe I wasn't putting it out there. Whatever the case, that tension is what, like, I had to pour the alcohol on to get over. And I just felt like end of the night, people were more open to talk about these deeper issues that I always wanted to talk about. And no one really felt comfortable until they were a little looser. So, yeah, that was the basis for my addiction and why I think alcohol was like the main thing I was using. How to approach someone struggling, like, you know, doesn't want to quit. Yeah, this is got to be careful when you tread in these waters, because, you know, you can't make someone change. Everyone's heard it. It's the famous line. They got to want to do it themselves. It's the truth. I honestly couldn't even hear if there were voices looking back telling me to quit. I was just so locked into what I was doing, blocking everything out. Like, they may have been saying it, and I just didn't even notice, you know? You really got to have that moment where you, like, crash. Something hurts so badly that you're just like, I'm done. You know, and it sucks. And every person has a different level. Mine, I'm a pretty extreme person, so I really had to push those limits, like, as far as they went. But yeah, my dad used to say, suffer well, son. Suffer well, you know, like, All right, cool. Like, go through what you got to go through. Keep getting hurt. Keep getting hurt. You're going to keep doing that feedback loop until eventually you just can't take it anymore. And so you got to kind of let them do that and get their own wave of inspiration. They're not just going to do it themselves. You know, I like to think about, like, when I started playing guitar, my dad bought me one when I was, like, 16. Had no interest to play it. Like, I wanted to. I told him to get it for me. But when I got it, I just, like, didn't play. Had no desire to. It was like, you know, you pick it up, you think you're going to be able to play, and you can't, and you're done. And then, like, 24 years old, I got hit with that passion, like, I'm going to play. And then I had the desire to. I had the motivation, the energy, and I did it. Put in the work and did it. So, bottom line is they need to have that kind of wave of motivation on their own. The only thing I've really learned that you can do to help someone is change yourself. Stop pointing the fingers at other people and become better yourself. Be the exact person you wish they were. Be the exact person you wish you were. Like, it's, you know, in today's society, you know, internet, social media, everyone's commenting all the time. It's an insane flood of just giving your opinions and pointing the fingers, and everyone else is doing something wrong. It's like, change yourself and people will change around you. So to me, I think commenting and pointing the finger at someone is judgmental. That's a bad behavior. So if I change that myself, people are going to copy my behavior almost through osmosis and being around me. And they're going to be like, oh, wow, he doesn't judge anyone. I want to be like that too. You know, you don't like stop someone from judging by judging them and telling them to stop. You know, so it's like that. It's like an inverse. You change yourself and be the best version of yourself, and that will inspire someone to also do that. So I always wanted to, like, change people and just grab them and be like, you know, I want to help you. I know what's best for you. And I didn't, you know, and I still don't. I'm just continuing to work on myself. And I found by doing that, that's what has actually worked, surprisingly. It's like not essentially trying, like just working on myself instead of pointing the finger outward, pointing it inward, and learning about myself. So, I wouldn't push too hard on that. Just surround yourself with them. That's what worked for me. I've had a couple people turn over, and it's like, be a part of their life, but not in a way where you're just like, you have to change. You have to change. Be a part of it. Show up. Hang out. Be cool. Be understanding. Listen. Find out why they do what they do. And just be there. You know, maybe you'll rub off on them. That's really all you can hope for. Okay, next question. How much did I drink when I was drinking? So, it varied. It varied so much on the time period. When I was younger, skate parties only. Basically, though, any time I went out, it was to the end of the night, though. If I'm doing it, I'm all in. You know, I'm going all the way in. But, you know, in terms of like days or mornings, I wouldn't really do it in the morning. I'd still go to work. I was fine with that stuff. But if I was, you know, like in the heart of it, right before I quit and I got my two DWIs, like in between that time span, like, yeah, if there was a morning time, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I'd go on a whole bender the whole weekend or like every night, weeknights. I didn't care if people were working. I just wanted to go party. Like, I was that guy. And if someone needed a partner, I was there to fill in the spot. I just, yeah, hit me up. Let's do it. You know, and I had no money at the time. So people were like buying me drinks basically to be, you know, go out with them, you know, I mean, almost like pay me to drink with them now looking back. I would drink all in or nothing, which it's kind of the behavior of an alcoholic usually, you know? So, I had to choose the nothing and start channeling my energy to something positive and just make that like complete flip flop 180. Okay. Next question we got. Did I feel my skating improved when I quit? 100%. Like, without a shadow of a doubt. I just learned to learn better. I had more energy, more focus, get up in the morning, more motivation. Yeah, it was just like it just became so much easier to learn and do everything. My body felt better. Yeah, just like rejuvenated my whole experience in skateboarding. Next question. Dealing with peer pressure. All right, so yeah, this is like it's a tough thing to navigate, right? Because you can have the relationship with people your whole entire life. It could be your family, friends, 20 years, 30 years. And ultimately, you're trying to go down this like healthy path, and they're trying to get in the way of that and like lean, you know, and they're not even doing it maliciously. It's just like, oh, we've been drinking at Christmas for 15 years. Like, this is what we do. We do shots after dinner. Like, you know what I mean? And you're just kind of like ruining the time. These are all muscles you're going to have to break in and just kind of roll with. And, you know, in the beginning, I think it's better to not bring it up, even though it feels like it's like the center of your world, center of your attention. That's all you're thinking about, right? It's like, I'm quitting. You're like on eggshells. You know, try to steer the conversation in a different way, or just like, I'm driving, or I'm on antibiotics. You know, it's not good to lie, but if there's a time to white lie, it might be then. I've learned even those, you're never going to escape. Those lies, you're always going to end up facing them. Any lie you ever tell. So might as well deal with it, rip it off, because what? Like down the road, they're just going to find out. You're like, you know what I mean? It's just going to come out no matter what. So just rip it off. That's really the bottom line. Yeah, don't like make it this huge thing. I'm not drinking, because then it's going to bring attention to it. People are going to keep asking and trying to crack you in a funny way, you know. And then you could just say, like, you know, man, nah, I get it. Like, it's fun, but, like, please, you know, just respect what I'm trying to do. And if they go past that point, like, I don't know, you might just have to leave, stand your own ground, like, but, you know, don't feed into it. Don't get in the fights, as hard as that is with family. You know, you just got to... I remember when I quit, I was almost, see, I'm like, I don't know. My mindset about it was like, I was excited to go on this other path. Like, if it's a different path and not everyone's doing it, I don't feel weird. I feel like more energy. I'm like, cool. I'm exploring this new thing. No one's done. I'm going to go through it for like a year and like learn this new thing that not a lot of people know. And I'll have this cool information. Like, I don't know. For me, it's just like an exciting journey. Instead of like, oh, I'm doing this different thing. So it makes me more excited to talk about it, what I plan on learning. Like, you know, so hopefully that helps. But ultimately, you know, try to put yourself in the least amount of situations that'll, you know, kind of push you. Be around people that will peer pressure you. So... I just wrote this down as a note. This isn't a question. Don't take for granted your streak, right? So if you're on a streak of like 2 months or, you know, 2 weeks, 2 days, 2 years, and you're just like, yeah, I earn this. I'm going to have a party, have a little bit of fun, drink, relax. Like, you'll look back and it'll be much harder to get back into that a lot of times. Sometimes that initial thing that got you into it and you were excited about, it just might not be there the second time, you know? So just don't take it for granted. It seems like, oh, life is pretty normal and steady. And then you can mess up, drink, and then you like wish you had that back, because you might feel really bad afterwards. You know, you're like, oh, wow, that was a terrible idea. But once you break the loop, it's could be tough to get back in. So, yeah, just don't take it for granted. Okay, next question. Any weird habits from quitting? Honestly, not really. Seltzer. I would like pound seltzer just nonstop. I guess that's like, I'm supplementing it as like something to do, you know, but I wouldn't like wake, you know, have to drink one every second of the day, but like almost, you know, all the time. That was like my go-to, you know, and, it's definitely a helpful technique. I feel it's just like a healthy flavored carbonated drink that you could do. But other than that, I don't think it really had any weird habits. Okay. So coffee and nicotine. That was the question. So coffee and nicotine, it was, I look at it all as like an evolution. So I quit drinking. I slowly started learning more about myself, facing reality, I was poisoning myself. I'm feeling better. A year goes by. And then the cigarettes, you start looking at them like, what am I doing? Like, I'm just burning my money and I'm poisoning myself. You start like actually realizing it because you're not living a lifestyle fully engulfed in that, you know? So, cigarettes and coffee, same time, ripped it off like a Band-Aid. That and sugar. So I went keto, quit coffee, quit cigarettes all at the same time. I remember I had this crazy headache. My neck hurt. I went to work. I felt like all spaced out. Like I'm like a server in a restaurant and everything. I just felt like almost high from like not having all those things at once. I was like in bed. I think my lower back hurt too, because I think one of them or coffee or I think cigarettes, they're like a muscle relaxer technically, or I don't know. So it was just like, I felt all these crazy things in my body. Wanted to stay in bed a little bit, but ultimately I did get out. But I think after 2-3 days, it kind of goes away, and then you build enough momentum, starts going. After a week, you're pretty much in the clear. You'll still have like annoying habits, like, you know, you pass the spot where you know you're like 5 minutes from home, where you'll light up a cigarette, and you'll get that urge, you know what I mean? But like, the physical addiction kind of goes away, you know, and then slowly over time, all the other ones disappear. Next question. How did sobriety change my view of skateboarding? Okay. So, I used to be very judgmental. Like I said, I wasn't on social media, so I would look at a lot of things as like being a sellout or contests or selling out, like very core mindset, you know? And then I learned from doing this and like embracing it, social media and sobriety, I became a lot more understanding. Like I did YouTube and realized how hard it was. Now you have to be vulnerable, put yourself out there, and like you're doing millions of different things. You're like running, you know, gotta learn editing, like thumbnails, all these different things. There's so many aspects. So you start to understand once you do it, put yourself in someone's shoes. So I started to learn to like do things, not judge people, not point the finger, do it myself, from the whole YouTube and sobriety thing. Sobriety as a whole was just like, you know, taught me that lesson. So skateboarding now, I don't know. It's just the best thing ever. Like it's just an enjoyable thing that everyone should be able to do. And all those little opinions are just like based in people's dissatisfaction deep down in something, essentially. You know what I mean? Like, why are you picking apart something at the end of the day? You know what I mean? Like, everyone just wants to enjoy life, do something fun, and have fun doing it. Guy puts out a video part and like works at it for years and years and years, and you just got these people just sitting there just like picking at it, commenting and saying nasty things. It's like crazy to think about. And if you saw that guy in person, or that guy was your friend, you'd be like, wow, I know what you put into this. Like, damn, props, good job. Like, good job, you put something out, good job, you're getting better. You know what I mean? So same with like contests, same with everything. Like, you might think, oh, I don't want brands to be in skateboarding, but like the guy in the contest, he's just trying to make a living. He's just trying to be happy. He's pushing his limits, training every day, like working hard. You know what I mean? So like, I just learned to not take that stuff personally and really understand from everyone's perspective. So, I think that's going to be it for the Q&A. I'm excited to do these. And that's it. See you guys in the next one.